Hi, I'm Rachel Michelle Wilson. I'm a children's book author and illustrator, and I'd rather sit at the kid table than anywhere else.
You can sit with me. You can sit with me. You can sit with me at the kid table.
Oh, hi there. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast today, because I'm sharing something very dear to my heart, which is my debut picture book cover reveal. Now you may think, a podcast is a horrible way to reveal a cover because you can't see anything, which you are right. I've included the cover in the newsletter that's associated with this podcast episode, but I also am going to go through behind the scenes and share a little bit about what making a cover is like, at least this cover was like for me, and I'll still share some kid table vibes to hopefully send you off with something that'll make your inner child happy for the week. So if you will permit me to make this an experience, we're going to start with an appetizer that gradually builds to the big reveal main course and finish with a little behind-the-scenes dessert. If that sounds good, let's get this feast going. An appetizer of kid table vibes to start. The kid table vibe of the week is doing something just for fun, no productivity allowed. Now, I'm horrible at this one because I just have ingrained in me, to my very soul, that I should be productive at all times. I'm always working on that. When someone says, oh, you should probably take a break, my brain doesn't even really know what a break means. Like, conceptually, yes, a little bit, but can I actually put it in practice? Not very well. And, you know, relaxation, what is it? That is my lifelong quest. Like, how can I learn to relax? So this playfulness and this kid table vibe is very important for me. And that's why I'm so excited about this new show that it's not really a new show, it's new to us, that Aaron, my husband, and I have been watching called Taskmaster. We started watching it thanks to a recommendation by the lovely and talented children's book author illustrator Isabella Kung. And this show is so kid table at heart, and I'm obsessed with it. We've been watching the British one, in which the mean, hard-to-please taskmaster, Greg Davies, who is a comedian, judges five contestants, who are also often comedians, as they complete meaningless tasks prepared by the taskmaster's assistant, who is another comedian, Alex Horn. It is absurd and hilarious and creative, basically everything my inner child loves. And one thing, too, that I love about it is how playful it is in the details. Like, for example, when Greg and Alex are sitting next to each other, they made Alex's chair a lot smaller, so he actually looks tiny compared to Greg, who was a really big dude. Like, he's like almost 7 feet, I think. I don't know. But Alex is like over 6 feet, and he looks tiny, and everyone thinks that he's shorter than he is just because of this little detail in the show. So just fun things like that. And as I was watching the show, one series contestant was James Acaster, who has a comedy special on Netflix called Repertoire. And of course, I had to watch it. In 4 episodes, James plays a lot with truth and lies. Like, he builds the first episode on the idea that he is an undercover cop posing as a comedian, which is hilarious for so many reasons, including the fact that as he talks about his life, as comedians often do, he endangers the entire operation. I chuckled as I watched because he is hilarious, but also because I'm tickled that people actually tell lies for a living. And then I realized I tell lies for a living. And even better, I lie to kids for a living. What a job, what a life. Shall we make this even weirder? Let's. I also tell the truth for a living. Little kid me would be super confused by this. She was taught that lying was always bad and that you should always tell the truth. So lying can't ever be good, can it? Lies and truth can't exist at the same time, can they? They can! In the best kind of lie ever, fiction! I've loved fiction since the moment I popped out of my mom. My first word was book. My grandma always told the story of me pointing to a book for her to read, then we'd finish, and I'd point to another, one by one, until we finished all the books we owned. When I watched James's special, the way he played with truth and lies, I realized one big reason why I love fiction so much. Yes, it's entertaining and interesting and fun, and it allows me to explore people and places and things and ideas, but it also offers clear boundaries and expectations. Ah, boundaries. I love them, crave them, probably because I didn't grow up with a lot of them. People would say one thing and do another, lots of half-truths, lots of confusing emotions. So where did I go for comfort? Fiction. In fiction, I was in on the lie. There was an expectation right off the bat. You are entering a fake world, a lie of sorts, but a purposeful one, a thoughtful one, even a fun one. You could enter it and leave it whenever you wanted to. There would be structure, there would be expectations created and fulfilled, and ultimately there would be lots of emotional truth to gather along the way that would leave me feeling understood and valued. When I opened a book, this very natural dialogue would happen under the surface. Storyteller. Hey, I want to explore an interesting emotion or idea, and I think the best way to do it would be through a lie. Would you be all right with that? Me. Yeah, normally I really hate lies because they leave me feeling powerless, but somehow you letting me know beforehand makes it feel empowering instead, like I'm in on it. And because you are being upfront about it, I'm trusting that you'll offer me a purposeful experience. Storyteller. Cool. Didn't that dialogue feel like something someone would really say in a conversation which is not contrived at all for the purposes of getting a point across? No, but it was fun to pretend that I thought the dialogue was natural when really you knew I was pretending because that's the joke. I lied to you, but you were okay with it and maybe even enjoyed it because I gave a hint that I was lying. Being in on it makes all the difference, and oh boy, is that dynamic fun. So, for someone who really, really, really hates lies, I sure do love them. I love playful lies, otherwise known as fiction, that offer a consensual experience. Okay, that phrasing kind of sounds like I'm talking about something else, but I think you get what I mean. To me, a book is like a shared contract between the storyteller and reader, and I take that contract very seriously, especially when crafting my own lies. Which leads me to the reason why I've been pondering about all of this lately, my very first contracted lie. Now, before we get to the debut book and the cover, I just have to take this moment to make fun of myself in another fun little, very natural dialogue. Rachel. Really, Rachel? A cover reveal that is all about how you lie to children? Rachel. It was kind of fun, right? Surprising? Rachel. Let's call it innovative. Rachel. How do we live with ourselves? Okay, now that that's over with, on to the reveal. The main course. Dun 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 dun! And now you can visualize in your mind, or take a look at the newsletter that will include it, or look at the Macmillan website, or Barnes & Noble, for my book cover, How to Pee Your Pants the Right Way, by me. I'm so excited. I can't believe my book is actually real and that I'll be able to hold it and read it to kids on October 15th. In the meantime, I thought it would be fun to give you a little taste of my book's origin story in the form of Two Truths and a Lie, of course. In the true spirit of Taskmaster, can you spot the lie? Number 1. Birdie the Bird's glasses were based on the glasses I wore as a kid. Number 2. I peed my pants in the middle of class in first grade. Number 3. After I peed my pants, I had to wait in the office for my mom to bring me clean clothes, and before I could sit down, the office lady bubble wrapped the chair. Which one is the lie? You can vote on the newsletter at rachelmichellewilson.substack.com. I will share the results and answers in next week's newsletter. While you're waiting on the edge of your seat, you could possibly pre-order my hilarious lies at your local independent bookstore. Maybe you'll even discover some emotional truth in there. Okay, on to dessert, a little behind the scenes of making a cover. Now, making a cover is really tricky, for me anyway, and this is the first real one I've ever made. I had a few cover goals, and I can only hope I achieved at least a few of them. I wanted the title to be big, as it usually makes people laugh when I say it, and it would help set expectations at a glance. I wanted the cover to capture the essence of the book, which is all about the tension between a serious how-to voice and absurd comedy, which is mostly in the illustrations. I wanted readers to immediately connect with my main character and his situation, and overall, I really just wanted to make people laugh. Now, the biggest debate was Birdie. I knew I wanted to capture that universal I've got to go stance with my bird character, so I sketched a bunch of different birdies in different poses. As I did, I asked myself questions to help me make decisions along the way. Should his eyes be opened or closed? Birdie, should he be in a setting? Like, which setting should he be in? Should he be on a chair? Should he be by himself? I try to push myself to capture even the weirdest of ideas because they usually teach me something. Like, I did this one with this mugshot. It looked like a mugshot where he's holding a sign that says how to pee your pants the right way, and he's looking directly at you, the reader. And then if you flip to the back of the book, you can see the wet spot on the back of his pants that was being covered by the sign. Now, this one made me laugh and helped me realize that I liked him better with his eyes open, looking directly at the reader. And also, I realized that though the wet spot is hilarious, I wanted to protect his dignity on the cover, since peeing your pants is so vulnerable. There's a difference between laughing with someone and laughing at them, and I wanted to create an environment that guides the reader into the experience as a friend to Birdie. I like the pose I ended up with because the eye contact creates tension and communicates Birdie is in an emergency situation, but it also feels like Birdie is showing trust in the reader with a vulnerable help me, an invitation to be there for him, to be his friend, to laugh with him through the experience. But then I got a little in my head and worried that Birdie alone on the cover might be too boring. Sometimes simple feels scary as it is hard to trust that it is enough. So I experimented with some other fun things. I'm glad I did because that image with the potty dancing Birdies in place of the O's and A's, like I have one where he's dancing across the title, ended up becoming the title page inside the book. And then after sending my favorite ideas to my editor and art director, they loved the direction, and next I needed to experiment with color and type. The solid color background didn't feel right. It captured the silliness of the story, but I also wanted it to capture the semi-serious how-to feel of the book. So I played with the idea of a border around the edges, which gave it a hint of an educational vibe. The combo of an absurd title with a serious border felt like the perfect way to capture the essence of the book. So yeah, that's how this book came to be. Thank you so much for celebrating my debut with me. I'm really proud of this book, and I hope you will enjoy it too. Thanks to Whiskey Geraldine for our podcast music, Joanna Roland, Marietta Apollonio, and Angela Fam Kranz for sponsoring this episode. Thanks so much for sitting with me at the kid table today. Until next time, as always, I'll save you a seat right next to me.